This hour by Frederick Remington, fully cooked, ready-to-eat bacon. Exclusive, no refrigeration, 10-year extended shelf life bacon. The thickest media center-cut bacon in the industry at fullycookedbacon.com.
He's going to go down this road, which I'd advise him absolutely do not do, Mr. President. Let Mr. Mueller do his job. He has the confidence of most of all Democrats and Republicans on the Hill, and I think that he will be fair, he'll be just, and he'll get a conclusion.
I think all of us realize that it's going to take a compromise on this issue for us to get something done and to protect the Dreamer population, which is certainly a goal of mine.
So we're talking about, once again, Mueller and the Russian probe, and, of course, what's going to happen with immigration. Politics, politics, politics. Hey, everybody. Kate Delaney, America Tonight. Hope you had a fabulous weekend. It was an interesting weekend, that's for sure. We're talking about what's going to happen with Donald Trump, who came back from or is on the way back from Switzerland, and now this case, is there a case against him? As far as obstruction, I don't think so. Mueller is trying to flush out whether there's collusion, what's there and what's not there, I suppose. But in the end, will he conclude that the president obstructed justice? I'm going to say, based on the facts, based on evidence, based on several things, I don't think so. Nothing that can stick. I'm just going to put it that way. Can any allegations of the obstruction of justice go anywhere? And like a wicked game of the Rubik's Cube, ever pick up a Rubik's Cube? It's frustrating. People tell you, oh, that's easy. Just, you know, just turn it a few times, you'll be able to figure it out. Yeah, a few thousand times. And that's what this feels like. And it's not a few thousand dollars, by the way, that's being thrown at this investigation. So, look. Bottom line is, we're going to just keep going through these machinations. There's my big word for the week. Meaning we're going to keep talking about it, 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 talking about it. And it's not going to land anywhere. Guarantee it. I guarantee nothing will happen with this. Nothing will happen. In the meantime, is anything going to happen when it comes to immigration? And whether or not the Republicans and the Democrats are going to come up with some kind of a deal. They're saying that it's yes, there's going to be a compromise and this is going to happen and they're going to be able to figure this whole thing out. And I say a few are saying that. You heard Senator Susan Collins, and that's the direction that she was going in. But does that really become a reality, or does it just become another promise that doesn't happen because there are too many riders in a bill, there's too many conversations about compromises that just won't happen? And I think they got to come up with a compromise. I think there has to be some sort of a compromise. But how far is either side willing to bend? And then, you know, you go back to this whole idea of the wall and the funding for the wall and resetting this. And we've got the State of the Union address coming up on Tuesday. You know immigration is going to be somewhere sandwiched in there. And what is the State of the Union address on the high notes? It's certainly going to be taxes and the idea that, okay, we're moving the ball forward with taxes. And I think there's going to be some immigration conversation nestled in that. It's going to be interesting to take a look at the broad strokes, I think, that we may get from this State of the Union. I think he's going to celebrate the successes. He's going to reset what is going on right now, and probably that would include, I don't know that it would include the Russian investigation. I don't think so. But I think it does include the immigration discussion because it's so heated and the back and forth is so crazy. So as we talk about what you're talking about, what I'm talking about over the fence, somebody said to me today, wow, did you hear about that car, the shooting at that car wash? And for the first thing I said, what car wash? Because I'm thinking, is it somewhere near me? But no, it was four people were killed, two were wounded. There was this wild shooting rampage in a town outside of Pittsburgh. It happened at about 3 a.m. A 28-year-old, Timothy O'Brien Smith was his name, was gravely injured, not expected to survive, but there were five people that were killed in the shootout. I'll call it a shootout. The identity of the victims, three men, two women, they weren't immediate. They said it was an intense scene. Of course it was an intense scene because there were bullet holes everywhere, including in the people who were laying on the ground. Two bodies were even found in a pickup, two others in the car wash parking lot. Oh, awful. And this was the scene in the morning that a lot of people found. There was a woman who took cover in one of the cars, had minor injuries from broken glass. Can you imagine? And supposedly, and this is the reason I bring this up, because it was some sort of a domestic dispute. Two of the victims were brother and sister. How does that happen? How do you shoot people in your family with a semi-automatic rifle and a handgun? How do things get so out of control that you actually hit somebody in the head and kill them and they're related to you? I mean, I get getting heated. Listen, you know what they say about families, but wow. And domestic, and I bring this up because domestic violence accounts for so much of what occurs at some of these scenes. People automatically, or cops automatically assume there's a great chance of that. And I don't know the exact statistic, but I know it's really high. I know it's at least 75%, which is absolutely crazy. There's got to be a better way. You know, walk away. Don't do jail time, and don't take away someone's mama and daddy by doing that. But awful to hear about that car wash shooting, especially because the person who told me, of course, left out some facts and jolted me into thinking it was somewhere in my neighborhood. And then there was this cool story I saw, whether I don't know, is it, I think it's kind of cool. Iowa lawmakers are talking about requiring students pass a civics exam to get a high school diploma. So the test would be basic knowledge of American democracy, the system of government, the history, just like somebody who's in the country illegally and takes one to become a U.S. citizen. So it's that common sense kind of stuff that you should have the basics of U.S. civics. If this passes, House Study Bill, they're calling it 573, would require that students correctly answer at least 60% of the questions on the exam given by U.S. Citizenship and Immigration Services, so the same percentage required of immigrants who want to become citizens. And, you know, there's the 100 questions, and some of them seem like super layups. Some of them you might have to think about, because what happens is, and Jay Leno used to do a bit on this, so many young people who are, by the way, brilliant and wonderful and totally can run circles around people, many people, when it comes to civics, but so many can't. They say 26% of Americans can name all three branches of government, but more than one-third can't name the rights protected by the First Amendment. And this is a survey that was just done last year by the Annenberg Public Policy Center. Wow. So if the proposal passes, the civics exam would be the first test required to earn a high school diploma or its equivalency in Iowa. And they would start in 2019 and the 2020 school year. Pretty interesting. And if it worked in Iowa, it may spread to some other states as well. When we come back, we're looking at numbers we can count here on America Tonight.
My name is Marjorie Wildcraft. I'm the founder of the Grow Network, which is an online community of people who produce their own food and medicine. We are really into backyard self-reliance. If you want this lifestyle, I suggest your first step be to learn some basic home medicine. Just the other day, my 18-year-old son came to me and said, "Mama, I got a sore throat. Can you fix me up?" And I said, "Sure, Ryan," and in about 24 hours, he was better. The best home medicine for you to start out with is garlic. It's an amazing natural antibiotic, and I can show you how to use garlic to handle ear infections, sore throats, colds, and flus. As a way for you to get to know a little bit more about me and the Grow Network, I've written up an easy introduction on how to use garlic. It's at gcnwellness.com. Now, the station manager told me that I needed to say the URL at least twice, even though it feels kind of weird. But if you're interested in backyard self-reliance, you are one of us. Go to www.gcnwellness.com and let's connect up.
Fully cooked, ready-to-eat bacon. I'm talking thick, meaty, center-cut, presidential bacon. Savory and delicious. I buy some, I use some, I store some. Awesome. No refrigeration needed with a 10-year shelf life. NASA pack technology. Bacon. Fully cooked, fully hydrated, ready-to-eat right from the pack bacon. Or warm and served. Life-saving, ready-to-eat bacon. 10-year shelf life bacon. Ships free at fullycookedbacon.com. Fullycookedbacon.com.
Are you happy washing your hands with harsh chemicals? Are you happy doing laundry with detergents? Are you happy paying high prices? Find your happiness with Pure Soap. These all-natural, earth-friendly Pure Soaps are the very best you've ever used. Buy in bulk. Get a 12, 36, or 48-month supply. Or get items individually and still save big. You're getting soap products twice as good as what you're using now. Earth-friendly and natural soaps. Your family deserves the best. Happiness is 5starsoap.com. Why not put your money up the drain for a change? See them at 5starsoap.com or call 1-800-340-7091 for a catalog. Cal Bend Soap Company can save you thousands of dollars and give you good old-fashioned real soaps that are triple concentrated. Soaps made from vegetable and coconut oils. See their full selection of soaps at 5starsoap.com. That's FIVESTARSOAP.com. Or call 1-800-340-7091 for a catalog.
If you know Kate Delaney, then you know that her lovable golden retriever, Mahalo, makes her world go around. So when Kate started looking for a high-quality dog food for him, she settled on Life's Abundance, the all-stage grain-free food. It's rated 5 stars by Dog Food Advisor, and that's a win. In fact, Kate loved the food so much that she's now repping the food at kateskibble.com. It's full of high-quality protein and nutrients, omega-3s and more. Kateskibble.com is just what Mahalo needs to be happy and healthy. Grab a bag at kateskibble.com.
Graham talking about Steve Wynn, and that's where we start with We Can Count. We can count the Republican senators that say Republicans should return Steve Wynn donations. Yeah, that's how bad it is, because all of these sexual misconduct allegations are piling up against him. So he did have to resign over the weekend his post as the Republican National Committee Finance Chair after he was accused of decades-long pattern of sexual misconduct, including demanding naked massages from female employees and pressuring them for sex. So Lindsey Graham, Susan Collins said he should give back the cash. Give it back. And again, they weren't the only ones because of the money that he certainly has doled out over the years. Even RNC chairwoman Rona McDaniels, in accepting Wynn's resignation, did not address whether his contributions would be returned, because they're trying to figure this all out. But you had at least a couple of senators, that would be two, that were pretty vocal about just give money back in this case, because it's just too ugly to be tainted by Steve Wynn. And it is really piling up for him. You know, this has been building now for a while, and the amount of accusations have been piling up against him. Wynn was instrumental in the fundraising efforts, though, during President Trump's first year with the committee, raising over $130 million. But those days are over. The Wall Street Journal reported that a number of women accused him of the harassment assault. The chairman and CEO of Wynn Resorts denies the allegations, but the paper also reported there was a case involving a manicurist that was settled for $7.5 million. I'm just saying, you don't pay $7.5 million if something's not up, and time's up for that one for sure. Not good on his record, but he's, again, these are allegations. He's saying it's not true, but it's not looking good for him. Let's put it that way. All right, let's move on to something else. Let's move on to a couple of what I think are fascinating stories that involve numbers, like celebrities, pundits, politicians, athletes. They have millions of fake followers. You know, so it's that whole idea. I was just reading a story. I guess I was reading the story in the New York Times where the, you know, this whole idea of how many followers do you have? And there are automated accounts. So the accounts belong to customers of different, of a company, for example, that collected millions of dollars in global marketplace areas for social media fraud, right? So then they've got Twitter followers that they sell and retweet celebrities and businesses and anyone who wants to seem more popular or have influence online. So 3.5 million automated accounts. Wow. Each sold many times over. And the company, this one company has provided customers with more than 200 million Twitter followers. Wow. So they look popular. It looks really, really popular. Remember, in November, Facebook disclosed to investors that it had at least twice as many fake users as it previously thought. They indicate that up to 60 million automated accounts may roam the world's largest social media platform. Fake accounts, which are bots, can help sway advertising audiences and reshape, of course, as we know, that's the accusation, political debates. But they can also ruin reputations, and they can defraud businesses. And it's very, very gray area. Very gray. They say 48 million of Twitter's reported active users, nearly 15%, are automated accounts designed to simulate real people. Wow. Of course. Of course they do that. And boy, if you dug a little bit deeper, it'd be interesting to see what they would come up with. I think there's more and more fake followers each day because of the whole bot thing. It does give you pause because of who has access and what they're saying, and is it real or is it Memorex? Which is it? I don't know. How about the Alaskans and their plight right now? Alaskans are turning to the government for food and health care because of this recession for them. You know, in Alaska, you have Governor Bill Walker's administration is projecting 240,000 people to be enrolled in the Medicaid health care program next year. That is up from 163,000 in 2015, so that's huge. Alaskans on food stamps, over 101,000. That's up from 72,000. So tens of thousands of people are up the creek. If you look at that program and what it covers, that would be about a third of the state's population. And they're saying it's going to eat them alive if they don't manage it. That it's just that bad that the state's annual costs for Medicaid have barely budged, even though it covers nearly 50% more people. Wow. Wow. And then you wonder about the, again, this goes to employment, it goes to families, it goes to a lot of things, but with the cost of living, et cetera, it's really created a buckle for SNAP, or the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, which is food stamps. The government covers the full cost of Alaskans' benefits, and that was $190 million last year. The state pitches in $10 million just to administer it, but they pay for the rest of it. Families of four earning less than $40,000 are eligible for up to $770 in monthly food stamps. For a single person, income is capped at $19,500 for a benefit of up to $230 a month, and people are really tapping into that. And it shows you how difficult the situation is is there. How about this story? We go from Alaska and their plight of Medicaid and food stamps to Mexico City. Mexican officials said on Sunday the government was going to unleash a new wave of troops. Why? They got a crackdown on criminal groups in regions where there's been a surge in violence, which led to 25,000 murders last year. Did you hear the number I said? 25,000 murders. The National Security Commissioner, Renato Salas, said federal police troops are going to work with the locals to round up the known major criminals and bolster the investigations. It's that bad. 25,000 means rival drug gangs splintering into small groups, bloodthirsty groups, military-led campaigns to battle the cartels, which are blowing up. And it's pretty nasty business, that's for sure. Even if you look at this past weekend, they say at least 25 people were murdered. 25 people. 9 were executed at a house party in a suburb of a wealthy northern industrial city called Monterey. You had masked gunmen who burst into a home. And these people were watching a local soccer team play on TV. And they were 7 people were killed at the scene, 2 died later at a hospital. I'll tell you what's gotten really bad. Ciudad Juarez, which I used to live in El Paso right there on that border, 6 people killed in that border city. And every day those numbers are just crazy insane. They throw up blockades, etc. So much of this is drug-related. Let's put it that way. Drug-related, not a shock, right? But what does that do to tourism? What does it do to the people who are just trying to live, just trying to stay away from the crime and the corruption and all that entails, and they have a tough time of it because it's hard to get away from it because it's in your face, especially in Juarez. Is again one of those super bad places for violence and for these drug lords to go crazy, and that's what's happened in some of those nooks and crannies in Mexico and some other neighboring countries that have had a tough time of it. And remember, this is why we used to see so much of that illegal immigration happening. Music means that we got to step aside. Coming up, a couple of really great conversations that you don't want to miss here on America Tonight with me, Kate Delaney.
Does the current world crisis in North Korea or our domestic crisis right here in America concern you? Well, I know it concerns me. My friends over at Legacy Food Storage have solutions in the event there's the inevitable. What's the inevitable? Civil unrest, a run on your local grocery store. And here's my question to you. If this happens, how do you feed your children? How do you feed your grandchildren? Legacy Food Storage has the solutions. In fact, they can help you implement a simple plan to take care of your needs in the event of the inevitable. By calling them right now, I have authorized them to give you a special 20% discount at checkout by simply using GCN. Call 888-543-7345 or visit them at legacyfoodstorage.com. That's 888-543-7345 or visiting them at legacyfoodstorage.com. Make sure you use GCN at checkout for an incredible 20% discount. Don't be a victim. Take control of your life now.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of MyPillow. And like all of you out there, I had problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat, I would flip-flop all night long, I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. When I invented MyPillow, I wanted it to where you could move the patented fill to give you the exact support you need as an individual, regardless of sleep position. MyPillow will get you into that deep REM sleep faster, and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed, it's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry my pillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose. And here's my best offer ever. You can buy one of my pillows and get one absolutely free.
Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-870-0305 and use promo code GCN. That's MyPillow.com or 800-870-0305 with promo code GCN.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm from everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your 2-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
Non-attorney paid spokesperson. Could your house go into foreclosure? Are you behind on your mortgage payments? Does it seem like the bank has no interest in helping you save your home? And you feel like you have nowhere to turn for help? Then we have good news for you. Foreclosure Protection Services can help save your home as they specialize in foreclosure assistance. That's all they do. If you're behind on your mortgage payments, being threatened with foreclosure, have been denied a loan modification, or been the victim of a predatory loan, it's critical that you call Foreclosure Protection Services now at 800-667-9035. Their network of attorneys and their agents are available to speak to you now. If you're behind on your mortgage payments, Foreclosure Protection Services can help stop the foreclosure process. Call today before it's too late. New laws are in effect that may save your home. Call Foreclosure Protection Services now at 800-667-9035. 800-667-9035. That's 800-667-9035.
Show Don Bill, who's written a book called Power's Trace. And you know what's interesting about that is it definitely hits on themes I like, because you know I've talked about this on America Tonight, but a crime, small town police. I just think, really, what's that like? What's that about? And we're talking about a book that takes place in a novel that takes place in Georgia. Is very, very intriguing, and it also includes two prisoners who escaped while they were being transported back to the Louisiana prison farm, and they ended up in Power's Trace. So, Don, thanks so much for joining us. We appreciate it.
Glad to be here.
Let's talk about, first of all, what led you down the road wanting to do this novel?
I guess the basic part would be that I had the time to do it. I had already retired from the accounting work and the Air Force and all that. So I was kind of wandering around playing golf every day. I had this idea in the back of my head for quite a while, and I finally just sat down and started at it, and that's what came up.
Well, you know, they say when you write a novel, it's based on some things from your life, things you kind of embellish a little bit, things that you've learned along the way. So I imagine a lot of that is peppered into it. This is kind of interesting for people listening, the whole writing process. As you said, you were playing golf, which, by the way, I'm a kindred spirit there. I love to play golf. But you're right. After a while, you would want to do something else, and this was rattling around in your brain. So when you decide you're going to sit down, you're going to write this novel, from the time you started having all these ideas and you put it down on paper, on the computer, et cetera, how long did it take you?
To get started, probably about 2 years. kind of, I had to step on a place to put my wife, get her out of the way. So finally get a little, I built a little room, little office desk, thing like that.
Mm-hmm.
And I just started going. I read someplace, they call it a stream of consciousness. I think that's what I was doing. Just had an idea, and I took it from there and put a story together just in order. And it was a lot of fun, really.
So as you did that and you started to put it, stream of consciousness, were you sometimes people, when they write, Don, are really rigid and, like you said, you had to get a spot for your wife. I understand that, because you needed some peace. You needed to be able to take a breath and do what you were going to do. But did you have a certain time? Was it like, oh, I got to get up in the morning, I get my coffee, I start to write, and then I stop after a while? Or no, it just was when the mood hit you?
Oh, no, there wasn't anything like that, but it was, I did to get a routine going. We did whatever we had to do during the day, and then about 11 o'clock at night, I'd watch the news, go back in my little room and start at it. And I could spend 3 hours, and I could spend the whole night back there, depending on how interested I was at the time. But I loved it. Dealing with these people was a joy for me.
Yeah, and it's so neat because, as I said, Powers Trace is a fictional small town in Georgia, small town. So tell us about the novel. Give us some tidbits on this little town and the police and what it was like for them. Long hours, small pay, right?
Oh, that's true. And I've been around the places here in Georgia, small town, and I talked to some of the guys. And they seem to like the job enough that they will do it without the big paycheck. And that really turned me on for that. So we went with that. But basically the book, I think you mentioned it a while ago, the bad guys broke out from a trip from Middle Mississippi back down to the prison farm, and they ended up stealing cars on the way. And they wound up in Power Church. And it all began from there. In the meantime, I tried to put in all the little trinkets that you get from small towns. If you ever been in the Grand March, that was the highlight of their year. That's the one where everybody lines up and they come down to the Grand Marshal and turn around and go back up. Wind up with 64 people abreast charging the stage. That's their highlight. So if you can visualize it.
I can, and of course you and I both know in a small town, the police, everybody knows each other. It's kind of like Mayberry in a way. And I guess when you were writing it, as you said, you talked to some of the police in the area where you are, and did you get a sense of community?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they all know each other, all love their work. You get them talking and you can't shut them up. I've been there for
I love
but
that.
But I loved it. I love putting these guys together, and they all like each other. And that's the reason 5-man police force can get the job done.
Yeah, so for you, when you were putting it together, and, you know, there's that arc in storytelling, so you have the excitement, the breakout, the panic, all of that, and then trying to catch the bad guy. So a lot of that is about trying to catch the bad guy. Did they have a hard time getting to the prisoners?
Well, it kind of fell into place. They had the GBI on them, the Georgia Bureau, and things like that. But there was no big push after these guys until they killed one of the deputies.
So that's sad drama when somebody in law enforcement is killed and one of your own goes down. Certainly people listening to this understand that. Then that becomes even more magnified whether you're in a small town or a big town.
That's true.
Yeah. What was the reaction to the book? Because I can imagine now people know you've written this book and they've heard about it. And what do they say?
Well, the people that heard about it were the people I know real well here in town, and I passed the book around.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't have anybody pushing the book on the national level or anything like that.
Right.
But everybody that read it liked it, so I was satisfied.
And then, of course, the question becomes, once you start to talk about this small town and people fall in love with it, are you going to write another one?
Well, I wrote three.
So three, but and will you continue in that series?
Well, I haven't really tried that yet, but it started out as just one book. I was going to see if I could write a novel. And when I started putting all this stuff together, it wound up as an 800-page book. So I knew that wasn't going to work. So I just split it in three parts. I put the first book is more or less an introduction. It's only 170 pages. You can sit down and read it in about 3 days. Explains the town, explains characters and all that stuff. And then puts them into this bad guy situation where they're chasing him around town. But then it goes from there to the second book is battling with influx of drugs coming from the West Coast, and then it's getting down into the small town stuff. And they didn't know how to handle that, but they worked at it, got it done. And the third book took on the corruption in the county government, those things. But anyway. That's what it was, and I had to split it up, so that's the way I put it in three books.
I like that. So, see, you were really excited about it. You had this tale to tell, and you had a tomb, so you're right. You had to break it down into three different books. Now, so you learned a lot about the editing process. Obviously, you're loquacious, or you're that kind of writer, Don, that you were excited. You wanted to put in details. You wanted to talk more about the town. Was it tough to go through and cut things out and figure that out?
Oh, yes. That's why I got to be 800 pages. I couldn't cut it out. I like these guys, so I let them work.
Do you have a favorite character?
Sure, the chief.
The chief?
Yeah, chief of police. Let me explain him a little bit. He's kind of cute. He's from North Florida. And out of high school, he enlisted in the Army, and they put him into the police, military police business. In New York, and he couldn't stand the cold weather. So he kept fighting, and he finally got a transfer over to Europe into the CIS bit. And in the meantime, his mother passed away, of course. You got to have one of those in there. And he came back and got a job with Atlanta. And he worked his way up through the police force in Atlanta over about 10 years. Married a girl that was working for the mayor. And he was on the job. Everybody else had gone home one night. And he got a phone call that there was this disturbance down in the north part of town. So he went down the elevator to get in his car, and there was a guy down there stealing the car. And he turned around with a gun in his hand. And before old Lou could pull his, he got shot twice. Couldn't be a policeman anymore in Atlanta. So he and his wife, Bev, went south, got a little place on the side, on the edge of a lake, and were really relaxing. So, I know that feeling. So, he had got a call from the banker and the chairman of this little town, Powers Trace, and he went over and had a meeting with him, and they talked him into being the police chief because of all his experience. And that's the way it began.
Wow. Fascinating story. Don, stay with us because we would love to have you come back on. So I just wanted to first have you agree to that. Will you come on and do another interview with us?
Sure.
Awesome. All right. So, Don Bill, we're diving deeper into this cool little town, Powers Trace. Kate Delaney, America Tonight.
Leaning on your right wing, friends, cause no one's left and no one's watching. Another animal, just practical, while the sun's still on your skin. I went to my doctor, had my...
It's a no-brainer. A Big Berkey water filter is the one you need, period. You need a water filter that removes chlorine, fluoride, pharmaceuticals, BPA, and other endocrine disruptors, pesticides, bacteria, viruses, and much more, right? And does it all at only 2 cents per gallon. Get the original and most trusted name in gravity water filtration, Big Berkey. And now GCN listeners receive 5% off ceramic filter systems using code GCN. Call or click 1-877-99-BERKEY or BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. That's 1-877-99-BERKEY.
Message and data rates may apply.
You don't follow the herd. You blaze your own trail. And you're as adventurous in the kitchen as you are in life. Whether it's paddleboard yoga or Peruvian steak, you're the first to try new things. So are we. We're Green Chef, the first USDA-certified organic meal kit delivery service. We offer delicious meal plans for 7 different lifestyles. Paleo, gluten-free, keto, vegetarian, vegan, carnivore, and omnivore. Want to be the first of your friends to try Green Chef? Discover our exclusive introductory deal by texting the keyword FUN66 to 543-543. We believe that cooking, just like life, should be all about experience and flavor. And by exploring dinner options with Green Chef, you'll try new recipes, techniques, and ingredients for bold, new restaurant-level flavors. It's like enjoying a new cooking class, but in your own home. To experience this culinary adventure, text now and discover our exclusive introductory deal. Text FUN66 to 543-543. That's FUN66 to 543-543.
The answer to being in control of your own healthcare is freedom from insurance. Become part of a group of self-pay patients that come together to share in each other's medical expenses. Individual share amounts begin at $107 a month and $347 for families. Choose from 3 health sharing programs. Holistic treatments may be eligible for sharing. See guidelines. Discount programs available for dental, vision, and pharmacy. Go to libertyoncall.org. That's libertyoncall.org.
Here's a special message for those of you who owe the IRS at least $10,000 or more in back taxes. The IRS has special programs in place that could eliminate or reduce your tax debt by thousands of dollars. Call the Federal Tax Management Helpline that has been set up for you, 800-503-8625. Stop the wage garnishments, levies, and tax liens now. Once you've qualified and enrolled, the IRS will stop all the collection activities against you. These unique programs have been allocated to help the economy and significantly reduce or eliminate your tax burden. The IRS is currently accepting reduced settlements and other favorable programs. You may qualify for substantial savings, so get the help you need. If you owe more than $10,000 in taxes, call for free information and to see if you qualify. Take down the number now for the Federal Tax Management Hotline, 800-503-8625. That's 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
Everybody's heard me talk about Life's Abundance that you can go to through kateskibble.com. And I'll tell you what, it's been such a game changer for Mahalo. And we're talking to more and more people about that. And joining us now is Lisa Flynn. And Lisa is a real estate guru in Florida, in the Sarasota area. Who doesn't want to live in Sarasota, especially right now if you're listening to me in the Midwest and you're shoveling? You're thinking, I want to move to Sarasota. And Lisa has a background where at one point she was a dog trainer and kennel owner and whatnot. And besides being a real estate mogul, she got involved with Life's Abundance as well. And what a game changer for, for the economics of a business, you know, because it is a business for some people out there listening, and also for what it does for your dog as well. Lisa, thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me, Kate.
So let's start with your background first about being a dog trainer and kennel owner. Tell us about that. What was that like? And I, you know, being a kennel owner to me would be wild. It'd be so cool, but I think I'd fall in love with all the animals and I wouldn't want to give them up.
That is oftentimes the case, yes. I have made some real connections with some fantastic dogs and some fantastic owners over the years. But yes, I trained dogs professionally for close to 20 years in the Washington, D.C. area as well as the Boston area, and a little bit here in Sarasota, but not a whole lot. And I had a 25-run kennel with doggy daycare and boarding and grooming and, of course, the dog training. So I did a lot of that. I also worked with some of the sheriff's departments in the D.C. area with their dogs. So it was pretty cool.
So let me ask you a question. This is a personal question. People will love this. They love it when I peel back the onion on the assistant producer of the show, which is my golden retriever, Mahalo. And Mahalo is still, he's 8 years old and he moves around great and runs and all that other stuff, but I want to be careful with him. And you know how do you get dogs to go up steps to a bed? Or come down. It's really come down because that's where they hurt their joints.
Yeah, right. That's so funny. It's just like if you were a doctor. You talk with somebody and tell them you're a dog trainer. They have a dog training question, and it's the doctor. And, hey, doc, I have this rash. Let me take a look. Well, it's guiding the dog, of course, and if you have a great relationship, as you do with Mahalo, of course, they will trust you and name it. That's the most important part, is if you're just trying to get him to do something without actually naming it. So training and obedience and so forth is not really just tricks. It is a language that to communicate with your dog. So when you name it, say stairs or something along those lines, and guide him with that, you certainly treats will help and a lot of encouragement, then he'll start to understand that if you just start grabbing him and trying to tug him down the stairs, he's going to freak out and not know what's going on. So as you start naming it and encouraging him that way, then it becomes a language between the two of you, so you can communicate to him what to do. Most people just tell their dogs what not to do. So the key is to be able to teach them so you can tell them what to do instead of just what not to do.
I love it. That is a million-dollar tip, I have to tell you. So I know people out there probably have similar situations where they're trying to get their animal to do something that would benefit them. And you're right. You say, don't do this, don't go here, don't whatever. But it should be the opposite. And, wow, that's fascinating. So you go from the dog training and a tip like that and kennel owner, which is so cool. You're in Florida, you're doing the real estate thing, and you started with Life's Abundance. What led you to Life's Abundance and starting that?
Well, actually, I started with Life's Abundance 18 years ago.
Wow.
So I've been feeding and recommending and actually selling Life's Abundance since the year 2000. So this company has been around for a long time, and I'm been aligned with them for a very long time. And it was a natural add-on to my pet business, my pet care business, of course, because people are always asking for recommendations for food and for toys and for supplies and equipment and so forth. And it was just a natural lead-in. But I started with Life's Abundance primarily because I saw the difference that it was making in the dogs that I was, my own dog, as well as the dogs that I was working with. The behavior is, your nutrition is a key component into behavior and behavioral issues. And so when I started to see what higher quality dog food, the difference it made with these dogs, then I started pursuing and looking into more options, and I stumbled upon this, and I've been with them for 18 years now.
From the business side of it, for 18 years is a long time. How does that work? And because we both, I mean, I'm new to it, but the quality is incredible. And my dog Mahalo, I think, he just inhales the food. He loves it. The idea that it's made in small batches, all those great nutrients that we talk about, and I've talked about that on the show. But I haven't talked as much about the business side. Tell the listeners more about the business side and how that can be fruitful for them.
Sure. Yeah, there's a lot of pluses to the business side. And one of the things you just touched on is that made in the small batches and so forth. This is an American company, and all the products and all of the ingredients are manufactured in the United States. So I like to support businesses that are in the United States. And many of these larger companies, we don't even realize it, but a lot of the ingredients are being imported from China and then put together here. And this has been some of the reasons for some of the recent recalls in the past few years, is they've gotten some tainted ingredients and then put it together in the United States, and some animals have been suffering, and many have died from one of the recalls, actually. So that's one of the components, is, you know, it's an American and U.S. company. But as I said, I had trained dogs for close to 20 years. I have really not done any training at all, but it was a natural lead since I moved to Sarasota, but it was a natural add-on for my dog training business. And I have trained thousands of dogs over the years. And with this business, every single day I get an email saying that so-and-so ordered dog food from you. And this so-and-so is a client from 15 years ago. They are on their third dog that I've not even met. And I may have worked with them in Washington, D.C., and now they live in Washington State. So this type of business is is really residual, because once they're clients for life, and I am on some second, third, and even fourth dogs that they're continuing to order the food. So it's not like a business where you might, some pet stores or groomers or veterinarians will actually have to stock the product. This is completely hands-off, which is perfect for me because now I'm focusing on real estate. I don't want to have to stock product. I don't want to have to worry about expirations. I don't want to have to worry about shipping things. That's all taken care of. And I literally still have hundreds of customers from all over the country that I have not even spoken with in 10, 15 years.
Wow. And the great thing, too, is the point of entry is very low, I think. I think it's incredibly reasonable. So you combine that with the fact of what you just said. You don't have to stock anything, and it makes it a no-brainer. So somebody told me the other day she had just started Life's Abundance, I think, a couple of months ago. And basically what she told me is, you know what, my food is covered for my dog. That's amazing. I don't have to pay for the food because I have people that realize how great this food is and that it is an American-made, it's made in America, and the small batches and the nutrients and all of that. So I feel good about it because I'm not getting terrible food off of a shelf, and now my dog benefits, but it also, I'm not buying the dog food anymore because it's paid for itself, and that's the start of it, isn't it?
Exactly. That very quickly happens with this business. The startup costs, like you said, starting a business, it's, I mean, everything included for the first year is under $500. So it just doesn't make any, you know, it's a no-brainer, especially for somebody who's already in the pet industry. But I know countless people who just are pet lovers and wanted to take care of their own animals in the best way possible, and that's how they got involved, like yourself.
Yeah. The with Life's Abundance too, they also do something really neat that they give food to shelters. You can give food to shelters, individual shelters, and I love the way they do that.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a really great company and a very solid company that gives back.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And so I would be remiss not to ask you about this. How's the real estate biz?
Real estate business is great. It really is. It's there's always ups and downs in this type of business, but I primarily, my niche with real estate is working with investors as a real estate investor myself. I actually got my real estate license here in Florida because my husband and I started to buy properties as rental opportunities. And I just started getting asked by other people for some help. So I got my real estate license for that purpose, to further along our investing business as well as to help other people. And I just fell in love with it. So that's another way that building wealth and having income coming in with our rental properties has just been phenomenal. Yeah.
Yeah, I love it. And plus all that sunshine and those beaches. Are you kidding? Who doesn't want to live in Sarasota or near Sarasota? I got to tell you, it's beautiful there, of course, right?
Yeah, I have to say that we do live in paradise. It's been 5 years since I moved here from the Boston area, and I have not looked back, although I have learned to stop putting pictures of the beach and the palm trees in January and February on Facebook. My friends don't appreciate that anymore.
I love that. Lisa Flynn, what a pleasure to have you on the show. Thanks so much for joining us.
I really appreciate the opportunity, Kate. Thank you very much.
Thanks.
If you know Kate Delaney, then you know that her lovable golden retriever, Mahalo, makes her world go around. So when Kate started looking for a high-quality dog food for him, she settled on Life's Abundance, the all-stage grain-free food. It's rated 5 stars by Dog Food Advisor, and that's a win. In fact, Kate loved the food so much that she's now repping the food at kateskibble.com. It's full of high-quality protein and nutrients, omega-3s and more. Kateskibble.com is just what Mahalo needs to be happy and healthy. Grab a bag at kateskibble.com.
This is Dan Pilla. Do you owe the IRS money you can't pay? Are tax debts crippling you? I've defended people from the IRS for over 30 years. I've helped thousands, and I can help you too. I wrote the book on IRS settlement, and I'm telling you, there's no such thing as a hopeless case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX to finally get free of IRS debt. With the IRS's new programs, there's never been a better time to solve your problem. Call 800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NO-TAX, or my website, danpilla.com.